Nice tea. 1, 2, 1, 2.
It's buckle my tea. Shoe.
Let's have the theme tune, shall we?
Mm.
This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to the Living Spit Podcast.
Again, we're back after... What is it? 6 weeks?
Yeah, something it's been
like
a long
that,
break, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're well, we were going to do this from the tobacco factory
because
we're playing Frankenstein in the tobacco factory at the moment. More of which later.
Yes.
But we at the last minute decided we were gonna couldn't be bothered to go.
Well, it was a bit of a schlep in it going all the way there to record this, and so we're at Howard's house in your little back room, aren't we?
Yeah, I like to call it my study stroke. Spare bedroom stroke music room.
And do you study here?
I do. No, well, I don't actually study.
No. But you do music in here.
I do music in here occasionally.
Occasionally you sleep in here.
I do. Well, at the moment, all the time, because we're getting in so late
from
the show that I don't want to wake the lovely present Mrs. Coggins
up
because she has to go out to work in the morning.
She's got an actual job, hasn't she?
She's got an actual job.
Proper
job. So I come in and I sleep in the back room.
Yeah.
I mean, I it's probably too much given like the whole... of our listenership, you know, details of my sleeping, my marital sleeping arrangements.
Maybe they can imagine you late at night when they're tucking themselves in and getting off to sleep. They'll like just spare a little thought for you in your back room.
Yeah.
Ensconced in your duvet. As an image.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we've last night, tomorrow, at the tobacco factory, so I've got a couple of nights in my actual bedroom.
That's true. We've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before the next one, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, what have you been up to since the last podcast?
I have been rehearsing Frankenstein, as have you. But it's been a bit... it's been sort of like a bit stop-start, hasn't it? For a couple of reasons.
Mm.
The most sort of interesting of which...
Yes.
And actually, you didn't do the last podcast, did you?
No, I didn't. I took a day off because we were having a baby.
We weren't having
not
a baby.
Not we. Me and my wife were having a baby. Well, she was doing most of the work, not going to lie.
I mean, you did your work,
I did
you?
My work. I did my bit. And then 9 months later, she did all the work. So, this is my first podcast as a dad of two.
I know. It's
How
exciting,
strange.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was very weird doing one without you.
Was it?
It was. I mean, Craig was brilliant, as usual.
Yeah, he was good.
And we had the amazing Ross Harvey.
Yes.
I mean, if you've heard the last podcast, you know all this. But it was weird not having you there.
I bet. Yeah, I did listen to the last podcast.
Did you?
Yeah. It was just lacking. A certain something.
Yeah, I think
a little bit of the McLaughlin magic.
Yeah,
but hey ho, I'm back now.
Yes.
So no, in all seriousness, you did a great job without me, and as did Craig and Ross. What I liked about it was that Ross was sort of a guest, but he was also like a co-host.
Well, he's good
at all, wasn't he?
He's good at all.
Yeah, he's really good at that. So hi Ross, if you're listening, and hi Craig, if you're listening as well.
You almost certainly are. Now we should plug Craig's show.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So Craig is rehearsing at the moment.
Yes.
He's and not with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's once again back to being an actor.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Five Children and It at the Egg in Bath.
And he's playing It, isn't he? He's
yes,
the Samiad. So that should be a good one to catch. It's a family show for Christmas, so book your tickets early to guarantee disappointment. And go and see Craig, our lovely director, as the Samiad in Bath.
I think he'll do a brilliant job at that.
Yeah,
he's got the kind of Samiadic quality.
He has got Samiadic sort of quality about him, hasn't he? Yeah, he's got that sort of gurney face and sort of a bit grumpy about things most of the time.
Barry Gurney face, as we call it.
Yeah. Barry Gurney.
Barry Gurney. That's a great name.
Him?
Right, write that down.
He's right on the list. So, news, Howard. Let's have some news.
Yeah.
That's a little theme tune there for the news item.
Yeah.
Now, what are we up to? What are we as Living Spit up to at the moment? And how's it going?
Okay. So, we are in the last couple of nights of our Frankenstein run at the Tobacco Factory.
Yes.
Which has gone... amazingly well, hasn't
really,
it?
Really, really
well.
We've couldn't have wished for a better reception.
No. And it's a kind of, it was a weird one for us to redo, wasn't it?
It was.
Because we did it first time with a band. And,
yep.
You know, as you know, if you've listened to these podcasts, and we sort of stripped it down.
Yeah. We trimmed the script a little bit. It was a bit flabby in places, and we trimmed that a little bit. And then we recorded all the music that the band do. Because we didn't have them, we didn't have them to play off of. So there were lots of moments that just wouldn't have worked. So, yeah, it was quite a nice, it's quite a nice streamlined show now.
But we have kept most of the set. Sorry, I'm yawning as I do that. It's not because I'm bored. It's because it was a late night last time. We've kept most of the set, which has had its own kind of... Well, not issues, but it's had its own sort of challenges, hasn't it?
Well, the biggest challenge is that it's really big and we've got nowhere to put it.
Yeah, that is a big challenge.
So after this show, we've literally got no storage. So if you run a cheap storage unit in Bristol or Clevedon, get in touch.
Yeah.
And we'd love to talk to you.
Hear from you. I mean, we have got storage, but it won't fit in our storage.
It's too big in our storage.
And also, it's been interesting to try and remap what we're doing on stage to move the set about.
Yes. Also, if you liked any of our set and would like to keep it for an extended period until we decide to do it in the future, perhaps, you can have it.
Yeah.
And if you store it for us and take care of it.
Semi-permanent loan.
Yeah, so get in touch with us once again. Now, we did have a cancelled show, didn't we, Howard, last week?
We did last week.
Last Friday, a week ago today.
Yeah.
And why was that?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say it was because of me.
It was, but it's not your fault, though.
Not really,
no. There's nothing you could do about it.
I have been doing this job for 27 years.
Crikey.
And I have had, in that time, before last Friday, I've had one show off.
Is that right? What was it?
It was Around the World in 80 Days, I got the flu, and I had one show off.
You are one show off, aren't you?
One show off who had one show off.
One show off had one show off.
Now I'm two shows off because we had to take a show off because I lost my voice.
Yes,
I did. To be fair to me, I did go in. We did go in, didn't we? And we attempted to do it.
I got in the car. He came to pick me up. Got in the car and I went, "Hello, mate." He went, "Hello." And I went, "Oh dear, this is going to be interesting." He said, "I'm going to go and see what I can do. See if I can sing the songs." So we went down there. And you tried a bit of Victor, didn't you? We all knew where it was going.
Yeah.
And you went, "I don't think so." So we said, "Can we cancel the show?" And they said, "Yes." So sorry to all those people. There were 99 people, I believe, booked in that night. And apologies, massive apologies to all of those people.
It's in all seriousness, it's a really gutting thing as a performer.
I just describe
myself as a performer.
Well, it's a bit pretentious.
Yeah, but there we are. To have to cancel a show, especially when... You know, because obviously you don't want to disappoint people because, you know, hopefully people look forward to coming to see our shows.
Oh, yeah.
They pay good money to do it. Mm. And also when, especially in a situation like ours, where our income directly relates to doing shows.
Exactly.
So that means that if I don't go on, other people don't get paid.
Yes. But, you know, there was nothing you could do about it. We made the right decision, I think, for your health, because you did have a nice rest. And next day we had two shows and you didn't cancel.
We only cancelled the one. And actually, I'm pretty much back to normal now.
Exactly.
So it was all good.
But if you did have a ticket for that show, hopefully you've been able to swap over into another day. We did have a question from Sarah Howard.
Yeah.
Not Sarah Howard.
Yeah.
We had a question from Sarah Howard. What? Howard.
Oh, okay. Sarah Howard.
Sarah Howard. No, that's not a name. I'm referring to addressing you.
I'm so confused.
Her name is Sarah Howard.
I'm not confused. I know, just pretending to be confused.
And Sarah Howard asked if we would put an extra show on. Well, we did make inquiries into that. But sadly, it was not to be because they just couldn't staff that show. It was going to be on the Sunday. We're going to add an extra one in. But sadly, we've not been able to do that. So apologies, Sarah, and anyone else who had a ticket for Friday night. Hopefully, you've been able to swap them over. If not, well, get in touch and we'll see what we can do. Or don't.
Yeah,
because
whatever.
It's quite a big offer, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're all right now.
I'm fine. I felt fine.
Yeah.
I just lost my voice.
Yeah.
So I think
I probably
had some kind of viral thing. Or something like that.
Well,
I did wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yes.
That was weird.
That's right.
So the night that I woke up in the middle of the night and I was really, really dizzy.
That's right, yeah.
And I nearly fell over in the toilet.
Yeah,
not into the toilet,
no,
but in the toilet, you know, in the room that we call the toilet.
Right.
But that seemed to go away the next day.
So. That's very strange. But you're okay. No dizziness now.
No, I'm fine.
Well, that's good to know.
And I'm wondering how much interest this is to people as I'm talking.
I'm sure David Phillips is related.
Yes.
Hi, David. So the rest of the tour. How long have we got? What shows have we still got to do?
We are going to be in Sturminster Newton next week. There are still tickets left for that.
Yeah.
So if you live in Dorset or Wiltshire, that might be the show to come to.
The one for you.
At the Exchange, we got two nights there on Thursday and Friday. don't know why I said that in a particularly West Country accent.
That's very nice.
And then the following week, we are going to Falmouth for the night.
Oh, yes. One-nighter in Falmouth.
For one night only.
One night only.
And then we're going to be in Clevedon.
That's right, the Prince's Hall at the weekend there. Yeah. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I believe that one is. And those tickets are selling really well. In fact, I think Saturday night and the Thursday night are sold out.
No, Thursday night is sold out. Saturday night's pretty close to being sold out.
Right. So for some reason, there's a dip on the Friday. That's very strange.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Anyway, but so if you're near Clevedon or you're in Bristol and fancy a little jaunt out, then we're there for three nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week after.
Yeah. Yeah, last weekend of November.
Very good. And so then that's the end of the tour. Just a short little tour this one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a bit weird, wasn't it? Because we were supposed to be doing this last year.
We were.
But of course, that all got ruined because of the COVID. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Well, no, what is it?
There's an illness going around.
Is there?
Yeah, and it's caused some difficulties. Right. And I don't
believe it.
No, okay. No,
I think it's a hoax by Bill Gates trying to take our blood. There you go.
You don't.
No, I don't.
Anyway, we were supposed to do it last year. We were supposed to go to London with it.
We were, and that was
all part of the tour. Yeah. And then obviously it all got cancelled and the dates couldn't happen and stuff. So so that's why it's a shortish tour.
A little short tour.
But it's been really nice to kind of revive it. Hasn't it?
It has been lovely to revive it. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And it's reminded us, without trying to blow our own trumpets, what a good show it is and what fun it is to do.
Yeah, it is good.
It's a real fun show to do. And it's lovely to see the laughs coming in again for it.
It is
still
knackering though.
Oh, it's knackering.
Oh, of all our shows.
Oh, it's a grueler.
Oh, Christ.
Especially now we haven't got the band because we're doing all the bits that they used to do. It's even more knackering than before. But hey ho, we're not down a mine, are we?
No.
We're not saving lives, we're just making some people laugh. So after this, after Frankenstein, Howard, what's next for Living Spit?
I'm not. So we are going to go out with Nativity.
Woo-hoo!
Again, the third Christmas, not in a row, but the third Christmas of Nativity.
Wow.
By popular demand. And it is, because it's actually selling really well already.
Well, that's good news.
And we've only just announced it. So we're going to be doing Nativity again. I think people come back and see it. It's like having turkey every year for Christmas.
It's a Christmas tradition, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're certainly hoping it becomes that.
For personal and financial reasons,
exactly.
We'd like that a lot.
So, we're going out. We're really excited about that, although we are a bit scared because we've only got 6 days to rehearse it and Craig's not available.
No, he's off doing the Samyad. So
we're literally going to have to watch the video and see what we did.
You know, I move over there at that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But luckily we found the video, so that's all good. And we are going on tour with this.
Yeah.
So why don't we see where we're going? Let's have a bit of Christmassy music, shall we?
Yeah.
That's great, isn't it?
I love this one.
It's a beautiful one. And luckily, copyright free, so we don't have to pay. Where are we going then, Howard?
Okay, well, we're going on the 8th of December. We're going to be at the Exchange, Sturminster Newton.
Wow, there again. And the 9th of December, we're at the Maltings, Farnham.
The 10th of December, we're going to be at the Marine Theatre in Lima Ridges.
Oh, I like that Marine Theatre.
Yeah. We haven't been there for a while.
No, we haven't, so it's nice to be back. Mm. The 11th of December, we're going to Dorchester Arts in Dorchester.
The 14th of December, we're at the Theatre Shop in Clevedon until the 30th of December. So we've got a fortnight there.
That's nice. And then the 8th of January, we're at Valley Arts in Chew Valley.
Yeah. And then we're rebranding the show because we're carrying on into January with the show. And it's going to be rebranded as The Lativity
for obvious
reasons. And continuing the tour. So we're going to be at the Ustinov in Bath on the 10th and 11th of January.
Yeah, and then we're at the Wardrobe Theatre from the 18th of January to the 29th of January.
So I would say, and one of my catchphrases is book early to guarantee disappointment.
Yeah. I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go. So that is the Nativity. Yeah, so get your tickets now while they're hot. Now, today on the Living Spit podcast, what are we talking about, Howard?
We're going to talk about today on the Living Spit podcast, in the vein of our current production of Frankenstein the musical, we're asking ourselves who we would bring back to life if we could.
Who we'd bring back to life?
Can I level with you, Stu?
Please do.
You've almost certainly given this some thought.
I've given it a modicum of thought.
Yeah. As usual,
you haven't.
I am not giving it 1 second's thought.
Brilliant. Well, you're going to have to do it on the fly.
I am.
And that'll be more interesting because we'll see what's right at the top of your brain. So we're going to be talking about who we would bring back to life. But before we delve into that, let's have some
comments from the audience.
So we asked our lovely listeners, who they would bring back to life, Howard. And Bill Smarm came straight in.
Do you think that's a real name?
Well, I don't know. We've never heard from Bill before. So, hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. And please apologise if it is your real name. I'm doubting it.
He says simply Lemmy.
Yeah.
That's who he'd bring back. He just says Lemmy. You shouldn't need a reason, should you?
No, not for Lemmy.
Not for Lemmy.
And his big boil on his face. We miss that, don't we? And his Zapata moustache.
Well, thanks, Bill.
Yeah. PJ Naylor, Pip Naylor, to fully embrace the Frankenstein theme and reanimate two local legends in one go.
Wow.
I think I'd choose to have Cary Grant's head stitched onto Dave Prowse's body.
Wow.
What could possibly go wrong?
Wow, I can see it now. That's quite an image, isn't it? A big bodybuilder's body and a little Cary Grant head with lovely hair. Wow.
I was going to say, do you think they knew each other? But obviously they come from completely different generations.
They do, and didn't... Yeah, and Cary Grant moved to America fairly early on.
He did,
Archie Leach.
Of course, he famously came from Bristol.
He did.
Grew up in Hawfield.
Is that
right? Bristol, yes, Hawfield. He did. And used to sweep the stage at the Bristol Hippodrome,
I think.
Yeah, wow. There you go. That's a little bit of... That, Stuart, I think... is known as a little fact.
And Dave Prowse, of course, famously was a son of Bristol as well.
Yes,
and was, Darth Vader, as well as the Green Cross Coat Man.
He was. And famously from Bristol.
Yeah.
And only died reasonably recently, didn't he?
Yes, he did very, very recently. And I've got a little fact about David Prowse.
Go on, go for it.
He was never told that he wasn't going to be the voice of Darth Vader. So he did all his lines like that. You remember the rebel lights are traitor. Take her away. And then he went to see the film. And found that it was James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
But he didn't know until that moment.
Ah, I see you've constructed a new lightsaber. Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Very, very good.
That's pretty good.
10 out of 10. That was really good.
Yeah.
So, so there's a couple of little facts.
Aren't you related to Dave Prowse?
Not that I know. Right. Have you got information?
No, I've got a feeling we had a conversation about a famous Bristolian that you're related to.
Well, I've got David Prowse's autograph on quite a few Star Wars memorabilia.
You're a big Star Wars fan.
Star Wars fan. And in about 1996, he did a personal appearance at Forbidden Planet in Broadmead.
Of course he did.
And I went along after school and I got a load of my comics and trading cards and things signed by him. And he always signed them. David Prowse is, underlined, Darth Vader. So he obviously had a real love of that role.
A little bit awkward.
Yeah, not sure George Lucas would agree.
So who are you which I'm sure there's a famous person you're distantly related
from
to.
From Star Wars?
No, from Bristol.
Oh, you're talking about Colin Pillinger.
Oh, yes. Right, tell this story. I love
my this. Who I called my grandfather, which is a very Bristolian way of saying granddad, as my mum's dad, was the cousin of Colin Pillinger, the guy who invented the Mars rover and went to Mars. So he was like a genius, really, and I'm related to him. So you can see that the genius kind of plays off down the generations and appears again in me, having skipped two generations. sorry, Mum. No, my mum is a genius. Actually, my mum is a genius at flower arranging. She's got a brand new business, which I'm just going to plug as well. It's called Mully Mules. Which is the reason she's called that is because that's what I used to call her when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, and she makes silk flowers, wreaths, that go on the door, and she's absolutely brilliant. You can check it out Facebook page, which is just do a search for Mully Mules, MULLYMULZ.
Right, two things.
Go on.
Can I just check, are we getting any money for that? Because on podcasts normally, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts recently, they do things like that, and it's obviously how they get money. I'm just putting it out there.
There you go, Mum.
Number two,
do
you think she's called her business Mully Mules? That's what you used to tell her, because you're her favourite child.
No, because I happen to know she went through several, something like her fifth choice, that name.
Right.
But all the others were taken.
Right.
So she's thought, what's the weirdest thing I can call myself? What Stuart used to call me. So
brilliant.
That's why she's gone with that. Right. So there you go. Hi, Mum. And there you go. Little plug for your business. Chuck us a tenner next time you see us. Eh?
And also, Kath, which is Stu's mum, can you, if you are listening to this, can you put onto Facebook which one of your children is your favourite? So is it Scott? Is it Stu? Or is it Sarah?
Yeah.
And just maybe think about explaining why all your children begin with the word, yeah, with the letter S.
Why have we all got S names, Mum? What were you thinking? Although I do know that my sister was going to be called Marianne.
Really? That's
but
a nice name.
But my brother, who was like 7 years old when she was born, right, said, Sarah.
That. Right.
So they named it what he called her. Brilliant. God knows why. Yeah. I mean, you know, two grown adults listening to a 7-year-old. Yeah. What's that? Anyway, so that's why we've all got S names. But it's very common back in the 80s. I had a friend called Austin who had a sister called Anna, I think, and his brother was called Ashley. So three
right.
A's.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. So Barbara has come in with a comment. She says, well, she's got a couple of little comments.
I've got a little thing I want to say about this.
Oh, yeah,
actually,
right,
yeah.
Okay. So number one. She says, I love the clever choice of music before the show.
Right, okay, so we can talk about this, because this is actually quite an interesting thing, which people might not have noticed when they came to see our show. So Craig, our director, is a real proper kind of music nerd.
He is, yeah.
He loves music. In fact, in many ways, he prefers it when we're playing music than actually doing comedy or acting.
Yeah, definitely.
This is why often we'll be playing instruments at moments where it's not really
not feasible to do so.
Because he always goes, yeah, I want to play. I want to see you play the guitar. I love you seeing you play the guitar.
Yeah, he does.
He always does this, doesn't he? He always does the pre-show music. And to be honest, he spends more time thinking about that than he does the show.
Yeah, and they're always cleverly linked to the themes of the show. So this one, we've got things like Our Friends Electric, Gary New.
Yeah, we've got...
You're Dead by that woman, I can't remember
Real Life.
Real Life.
It's not Hole in the Head, is it?
No,
what's that one?
There's Lightning Bolt.
Lightning
Jake
Bolt.
Bug.
So we've always had relevant things. And he actually, Craig and I did a show together around the world in 80 days, actually, years ago. And he suggested that for that. So we did the same thing there. But all of Living Spit's shows have appropriate music. Now, Trimmo, last night, who's Trimmo, Fiona Trim, our stage manager, she suggested a brilliant idea.
Oh, what's that?
Which is that we should put a Spotify playlist together of the playing music.
That's a nice idea.
And release it as a kind of thing that you can come after you've seen the show, you can listen to the Spotify
really
playlist.
Good. We should do that.
So we will do that.
We will do that.
I'll be honest, I don't know how one does that.
I can do a Spotify playlist. I know how to do that.
Great.
So I'll put that together and we'll do that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Trimmo. What's Barbara's second question? She says, don't you ever get cold?
I assume she's talking about during the show.
Yeah, nakedness. Yeah, sometimes, especially during the interval, because I come off Act 1 just in a pair of pants, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the show, and then I come back on in Act 2 with the same pair of pants, so I just have to sit in the interval and in the wings. So it's a little bit cold, but...
And you see, I never get cold, do I?
No,
I don't feel the cold.
You're hot-ish,
but, thanks. you do feel the cold,
don't you?
So, I never feel cold in the show. In fact, quite the opposite.
You
I'm
feel really hot.
Dripping with sweat.
But you also wear a lot of costume.
I do, yeah.
Then number three, she says Ada Lovelace, which I think is the person she'd bring back, I'm guessing.
Who actually has featured in one of our shows.
If you'd come to see our show, Giants of Science, you'd have seen Ada Lovelace brought to life again via the transformational qualities of my acting.
Exactly. Although you didn't actually have any lines.
No,
did you?
I don't think I did.
I think it was
very much
that was the point of the scene.
That you sort of mansplained about it.
Yes.
It was satire. It was very satirical, Barbara. So thanks for your contribution, Barbara. Who have we got next? What have we got?
David Phillips.
Yay, hi, David.
How about bringing Jesus back to life?
Why?
As he has a lot of questions to answer, or has that already happened?
Oh, who knows, David?
Who knows, David?
Has he been brought back to life? I've never met him.
No.
You?
Would we believe him? I mean, there's a whole philosophical debate here, which probably isn't something we want to get into on a light-hearted comedy podcast.
So, thanks, David.
Jesus, I mean, it'd be interesting.
Ask him some questions.
Yeah, you could, yeah.
What would you ask him?
I'd say... you know all that stuff you did?
I'll be Jesus.
Right, okay. So,
hello, my son. Hi. Everyone's my son.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
Right, I get it.
Hi.
Okay, so Jesus.
What's up?
Hi.
I'm a bit busy. I've got some loaves and fishes to make.
Right.
What do you want?
Can I just check? You know all that stuff that you claim to have done, like by magic?
Yeah, the miracles.
Was
it
actually magic? Or?
Oh, well, I couldn't reveal my secret, could I? Because magicians don't ever do that.
Right.
You don't go up to Penn and Teller and say, was it actually magic?
Do you? Well, actually, ironically, Penn and Teller, they do that. But
I chose the wrong word. David Copperfield. Yeah. He'd never reveal how he got rid of the Statue of Liberty.
That's true.
It's just a miracle.
Yeah.
So, any other questions?
No, I think that's it. On.
Great. Yeah, yeah. See you later.
See you later, Jesus. Nice to meet you.
Bye. Oh, that was Jesus.
We won. It was
nice.
You, wasn't it?
But, Jesus came in and said hello.
Yeah.
I hope that answered your question, David. Rosie Sisson.
Hi, Rosie. I'm Rosie. I know Rosie.
Do you?
Who's Rosie? She's somebody I know.
Great. That's all we need to know. She says, Frankenstein remains my favourite of your shows. I loved it so much.
So.
Thanks, Rosie.
Have you booked for this run? Because if you haven't.
Get in quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wendy Artstew.
I don't think that's a real surname.
Wendy Artstew.
Maybe she's an arts steward or student or something. Anyway, what'd she say?
I just... watch Frankenstein at View Tobacco
I'm
Factory.
I'm not sure if that's my misprint.
Tobacco Factory in Bristol. It was absolutely hilarious. I actually emptied my bladder where I was laughing so much.
You've gone off script.
I have actually.
She didn't say that.
Laughed from start to finish, and the head was remarkable.
The head was remarkable, wasn't it? Yeah, it's got a nice laugh last night.
Is this a spoiler? I don't know.
Well, let's skip over it then.
It's not a massive. I mean, it would be interesting to talk about. Should we talk? I'll tell you what.
I'm sure we talk about it a lot on our Frankenstein episode.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
We're
going to talk about the head for the next 2 minutes.
Right.
If you don't want a spoiler, then
skip ahead
2 minutes.
Good idea. Right.
So, the head, Stu.
Well, I went to Manchester in 2016 and some guys poured some, like, pink goo on my head. And,
not for the first
time. Hey!
Going to Manchester and having fluid poured on
your head. Men poured goo on my head. And it hardened.
Nice.
And I had to sit in this thing. I had two nose holes, so it was very claustrophobic. And they were saying, if you're all right, put your thumbs up. And I would just put my thumbs up to say that I was all right. I actually found it very relaxing.
Did you?
It was like about half an hour of just being my head being encased in this like hardening like goo, and then they put bandages around it and they cracked it open and then they made a mold of my head with that, and it was very nice. It was a nice experience. It was very relaxing, as I said.
I had it done once.
Did you?
For a thing that I was doing. It was. I had to have my back molded and my face, although I didn't. I don't think I had the straws up the noses. No. It was only my eyes and stuff.
Right.
But it's interesting.
What was that for then?
It was a film I did. It was called
National Treasure.
La Contessa di Castellano.
Was that in Spain or something?
No.
Or Italy?
No.
What was it then?
It was a short film that I did very early in my career, Stuart.
Wow.
It's probably available on the internet.
What's it called again? Remind us.
La Contessa di Castellano.
There you go. Which means?
The Countess of Castiglione.
There you go.
So,
brilliant.
There you go.
That's a little Easter egg for you, just Living Spit fans.
Okay, well, I think that 2 minutes is up.
That 2 minutes is up. We've talked about the head.
So welcome back, all you spoiler
welcome back.
Avoiders.
Yeah, spoiler avoiders. Gillian Winter says, looking forward to seeing this in Sturminster Newton. This is our favourite LS show, so we're excited to see it again. And she's put a little laughing emoji there as well.
Well, thanks, Gillian.
Thanks, Gillian.
I mean, I don't blame you.
No,
you
know, me neither. It's a great one. Don't miss out.
I'm surprised you can choose between them.
Yeah.
You know, given the kind of consistency of quality that we offer. But, okay, so Jonathan Rowe via email. Now, this is quite long.
It's a long one, yeah.
And also, this also has a sort of spoiler in it, doesn't it?
He talks
about something that...
Oh, yeah, right. Well, should we skip over it?
I tell you what, we'll do it again, right? So we've got a minute to talk about this. Skip over it if you don't want to hear spoilers, right?
Skip the spoilers.
Skip the spoilers. Skip the spoilers. Skip the spoilers.
Skip the spoilers. No, Leslie, you were right to stop.
Okay. So Jonathan Rowe says, just wanted to say congratulations on a great show.
Thanks,
it was
Jonathan.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Just the laugh I wanted at the moment.
Oh.
Now, that hints at sort of darkness in Jonathan's life, which I hope you're okay, Jonathan.
Yeah,
I'm glad to know that we kind of...
gave you some mirth.
Yeah. Will Death book for Nativity at the Wardrobe Theatre.
Great.
Have to say, Stu, I think you have very cute ears.
Oh, thanks, Jonathan.
And you've got nothing to be embarrassed about in the dangly bits department.
Wow, that's lovely to hear. Thank you.
Then he goes on to me. I wonder if Howard is related to the famous Coggins family of Brislington. Ooh. I'm a local historian too, and the Brislington was formerly part of North Somerset. John Coggins came from the West Country, no idea where, to Bris in about 1740, married a local girl and had loads of kids. The family were well known as market gardeners in Bris from the 1860s and 1960s. One of my colleagues from in my Bris local history group is Janice Coggins. She's not directly related to the Bris branch. See you at the Wardrobe Theatre in Jan. Keep up the good work.
Wow.
I mean, a local history lesson.
That's
I wasn't expecting
lovely, that.
That so, I mean, the chances are I am related, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because, well, if they came to North Somerset, then and my, possibly.
As I said to Jonathan, my grandfather did come from Bristol, so,
right?
You know. Yeah.
So there you go. You could be one of the Brislington Cogginses.
Could be.
But not Janice. She's not. She's not
no,
related.
I don't think she's related.
So she might not be related to you. Mm. Okay, so that wraps up the comments.
Yeah.
Let's crack on to the subject of this podcast today, yeah. Which is who would we bring back to life? And now, I know you've given this a lot of thought,
yeah.
Howard.
I still haven't given it any thought,
no.
Even at this point.
Well, I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Thinking time. Well, I've got a couple.
Okay.
My first one is the Really Wild Show presenter, Terry Nutkins.
Yes.
And I'd bring him back for two reasons.
I'll tell you what, I wasn't expecting that.
So my first reason is obviously in today's current climate, we're talking about climate change a lot. I think we need all the conservation experts that we can possibly gather,
yeah.
to give us an insight into what we should be doing and how we should be taking care of wildlife. And I think Terry Nutkins was a shining exponent of that during his work on The Really Wild Show. So for that reason, I'm bringing back...
Animal
magic, of course. And he had one little finger, didn't he? He got it bitten off by a seal. A seal.
He had a pet, because I'm a bit older than you.
Right.
And when he was on Animal Magic, I think it was, he had a pet seal.
Did
I mean,
he?
Don't ask me. But he had it, yeah. And she was obviously so keen on being his pet that she bit his finger off.
You didn't see that live on TV?
No, but I remember it being talked about, you know, like how it happened. And that.
Wow.
But he used to keep her in a bath.
Really? In his house?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
I know. I mean, these
Seems
days,
cruel,
I'm not sure
man.
It would be considered...
Maybe I need to rethink this, Terry.
Yeah.
Give you a seal
is he
in the
dead?
Bloody back.
He's dead. Oh, is he? Oh, well, you know, I do know that.
Well,
actually.
This leads me on to my next point.
Right, okay.
Another of the reasons that I would bring Terry back to life is that every sort of 2 years or so, you know on Facebook when you get, like, advertised, like, somebody's... The news of someone's death gets, like, reposted.
Yes, yes.
And everyone goes, oh, I didn't know that, but yeah. They've been dead years.
Yeah, yeah.
Every 2 or 3 years, your dad says to me, Terry Nutkins died. And I go, yeah, Steve, it's about 2014, I think he died. And he goes, oh, was it? And he constantly reminds us that Terry Nutkins has died. So I'd just like to once go, no, he hasn't. Just once.
Are you? Can I just check?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, come on.
Are you mocking my... slightly elderly.
He's elderly.
Now,
be careful, because I know he listens to this.
Yeah,
so,
I know he does. So, are you mocking my father, your father-in-law,
yeah.
Because he doesn't remember things?
Well, I sort of identify with him, because I don't remember much either. I'm getting to the stage where... you ask my wife, there's so many things I forget all the time. She's
but
told
I see,
time
I think I think this is not because you've got a bad memory. My experience is thinking you weren't listening in the first place.
That's more likely to be the case, yeah. That is more likely to be the case. So, yeah, hi, Steve, if you're listening.
Right.
And stop telling me that Terry Nutkins is dead. He died years ago. That's my first one. Do you want to do one now? I think one on the fly. Have you had any thinking time?
No. I think, yeah. Well, the obvious thing is to say people like Shakespeare or you know, like these here, Einstein,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Kind of go,
the big, big hitters.
Yeah, the big hits. I mean, it would be, it'd be incredible. Well, Jesus,
nice.
For
well,
instance.
Jesus.
It'd be incredibly interesting to be able to have a chat with the... with them and say, what were you thinking? But
what were you thinking?
you know, or say, you know, like to Shakespeare, did you realise you were a genius?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Were you just, you know...
Or did you get other people to help,
yeah, exactly.
As the rumours claim?
Exactly.
You know, what did you write King Lear or not?
But there's also people that you can't... Like, for instance, right?
Yeah.
And this is might be a bit controversial, and I apologise for that.
Go on.
And I wouldn't want this quoted out of context, right?
Right, okay.
But... Adolf Hitler, right?
Yeah.
Well, he sort of got away with it. I mean, he didn't get away with it. He shot himself in a bunker, right?
Yeah.
But he never answered for his crimes, did he?
No.
He never... And I think that made a lot of people not have closure.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so I would maybe bring him back
and get him and up say, in look, the get him,
yeah, war tribunal and say, look, you know, you need to take responsibility for this.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's quite philosophical.
Well, it is very philosophical. And considering you just thought of it off the top of your head, it's really deep.
Yeah, thanks.
And I admire you.
Thanks.
greatly. So that's very good.
So, yeah, I'm looking at my wall of... this is another person.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Asterix. My walls in this study are covered with Asterix, and I would bring back René Goscinny, who was the drawer of the cartoonist. Yeah, so he's dead. So that would be interesting.
What would you get him to do? Just do some more.
Do some more.
Just do a bit more.
Yeah.
You didn't do enough.
No.
He would be like, I give you lots. I did hundreds of Asterix. Let me rest. He'll be like, do a few more.
I think he was French.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, so you'd bring him back. What was his name?
René Goscinny.
Pierre McFrenchy face. René Goscinny.
Goscinny.
Ooh, that's a lovely name. Well, I've got another one. Now, this is sort of two in one.
Okay.
Right. I think I'd bring back both John Lennon and George Harrison. Now, the reason for this are twofold. One, they both had... slightly, well, in one case, very tragic ends, and in George's case, slightly less tragic, but still pretty tragic. I mean, like, he got his house broken into, he got injured, he never quite recovered, and then he got cancer and died. Mm-hmm. And with John, he got shot. And I just think, like, oh, let's bring them back, and they can sort of just grow old, really old, like Paul and Ringo are doing, and think about the reunion.
This is the thing. Right, so here's a question, right?
Yeah, go on.
Would you want the Beatles to reform?
Now, I've thought about this as well,
because this
actually
is sort of a, like, which dead thing would you bring back
to
life?
Well, yes, exactly.
I mean, sort of
the Beatles are dead. They needed to die when they did, really,
well,
didn't
they? Is that not why they are so revered now?
No.
Rightly revered. I mean, and also the music kind of speaks for itself. But, you know, you see the Rolling Stones now. Obviously, they're brilliant, and they're just banging
still
out
going.
The same old shit that they've been doing for years, which is totally fine, and they've earned the right to do that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, obviously they're still making a lot of money and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But... Mm-hmm. But would it be satisfactory to see a load of 80-year-olds, which they would be
they
now,
would be.
Banging out Lady Madonna.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Paul McCartney does do that.
He does do that.
Like I say, he's got every right to. And we're both huge, huge Beatles fans.
We are huge fans.
So, but that is interesting.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting philosophical point, is it? Would we want that? Maybe not. Maybe we should just let them rest.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take that one back.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to think what would happen if they'd stayed together.
Yeah.
You know, would their reputation be as good as it is or not? Who knows? What would they have done later?
Well, yeah. What sort of music would they have made in the 80s, for example?
Yeah, yeah.
Would they have gone all synthy and everyone go, oh, they've lost it?
Yeah, they've lost it, like Genesis.
Like Genesis, yeah. Well, it's interesting.
But
yeah.
There's another one, and this is a more general thing, right?
Yeah, go on.
So this... And this comes from... a kind of slightly personal place.
Right.
I don't want to go into too many details, but we always, when this question's asked, it's always about what famous, you know, who famous.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, to be quite serious for a minute, some people I know have experienced quite a big loss recently.
Mm.
And I think, you know, in some ways it's kind of a bit, to say, well, which famous, you know, to say, bring Einstein back, who was an old man when he died, and, you know, and achieved amazing things.
Mm.
I think, really, bring back people who died before their time,
yes,
you know, who
thing.
Maybe have got kids that won't get to, you know, see their...
Very true.
You know, and maybe that's who we should be thinking
that
about.
Is who this, should
sorry,
be
this
thinking
has all gone a bit serious.
I think it's just a good point. Like, somebody like, I'm thinking of Jeff Buckley, would it be quite good?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
He died just as his career was about to take off, and he made one really brilliant album, was about to make another really good album, and he was like 27 or something when he died.
Yeah.
So bring him back and say, look, you've still got your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah.
Bugger all these, you know, old people, and just not bring them back.
But also, you know, you're kind of thinking about famous people, and actually, you know, the difference that people make in their lives isn't necessarily about the work they do; it's about their relationships with other people.
Well, exactly.
You know, I mean, Einstein famously wasn't a brilliant person to his partner,
right?
You know, and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't diminish his brilliance.
No, indeed.
Anyway, I think we should probably move on a bit.
So let's move on. So that's who we bring back to life. Now it's time, because we've got a lot of questions and a lot of items to go. So let's move straight into some...
Questions from the audience!
And now for some audience questions!
Okay, so Janet Ryder has got a question. She says... Any plans for Frankenstein to come to the Minac?
Well, do you know what, Janet? This is very interesting you should say that.
It is.
So there were plans for Frankenstein to come to the Minac last year when we were going to do this bigger tour.
Yes.
It didn't happen because it was... it was going to happen on this tour.
It was.
Yeah. And then you had a baby. So we had to program in Stu having some paternity leave, quite rightly. So that's why we didn't come to the Minac with this show.
And you know what? I love the Minac, but I'm so glad to not be naked in October... In the Minac, because we did Henry there last year, and I was in dresses, and I was physically couldn't stop shaking with the coldness. So to be naked in this show, as I am for 80% of it, would be hell. Much as I love the Minac, but we also have to go back.
Hang on. Also, we have had a conversation about this.
Go on.
In that. The set is big for Frankenstein. That's really right. Right? And. I don't know, you probably know the workings of the Minac, but you literally have to cart everything down through the auditorium. Mm. And given that we did Beauty and the Beast there this summer, and I nearly died.
You did.
Actually bringing stuff up.
You did. and the stuff in Frankenstein is so big, we actually had to hire some young people just to get it in the tobacco factory.
Yeah,
didn't we?
So to get it in the Minac, we'd have needed, I don't know how we'd have done it. No. So certainly Trimmo, our stage manager, has said she's really glad we didn't go to the Minac with it, because we're not sure how we'd have got it in.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
But we will be going to the Minac, won't we? Can we announce that? No. We might be going to the Minac. Yeah. I'll do that.
Look out for us next summer.
That's what we'll say. Okay, who have we got next?
David again. David Phillips. Just wondering, now the weather's turned, are the audience getting less for their money from... Now, that's a spoiler. I'm not going to...
Yeah,
no,
that's a spoiler.
Also, just saw Stu as the desk sergeant in The Outlaws. Has he been moonlighting Howard?
Mm.
Well, I mean... Yeah, you were
in it.
Very. I haven't actually seen the episode yet.
I played a very, very small part in episode 2 of The Outlaws, the new Stephen Merchant thing, which is brilliant, by the way.
I've watched one episode. It's really good. I'm keen to watch the next ones.
It's very good.
Moonlighting, it's a bit weird, isn't it? We do occasionally do other things. I mean, there's not much time to do other things these days.
But we're
both up for doing other things.
We are. Yeah.
The funny thing was, right, so literally every comic actor in Bristol is in The Outlaws.
Or got seen for it, at least.
Like, literally everyone, right? Stu and I, at the time, had the same agent.
We did.
We haven't not got different agents now, but our agent...
We haven't got one.
We went bust. But there we are. So we got the same agent. Stu got seen for it. Yeah. I didn't. Right?
And it's not like a part that needs to be a tall bloke with big ears. It's just you could have played that part easily.
Yeah. And in many ways, I'd have been.
Let's move on.
Yeah. But the funny thing was, so I was watching it with, I think it was my dad actually.
Was it?
We were watching it, me and my wife and my dad, and
he went Terry Nutkin style.
Yeah, but after that, he said, why are you in this then? Which is great to hear from your dad, isn't it? Why are you? I said, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe I'll see him for series 2. And my wife turned around and went, no, they filmed them back to back.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
They'd already
immediately.
So not even going to be in series 2. Maybe series 3, they'll come a knocking. They'll have heard about the Coggins magic and they'll get stuff. Jill Hunter. She says, do you only tour the southwest of England? We are near Watford in the southeast, but saw you at Monaco.
Now, I think that must be the Minac.
She must have been at autocorrect.
Monaco?
I don't think you saw us at Monaco, Jill.
No.
I wish.
Yeah.
If you know anyone in Monaco who wants a two-man comedy, history, theatre troupe, then get in touch.
Yeah. So...
But you might be the Minak.
We definitely haven't played Monaco.
No, we definitely haven't. But we'd love to.
We do. We do. Well, we're going to. Not really. Is the simple answer. We have done.
We go all over, but within degrees, don't
we? Yeah, yeah.
We've been up to York a few times.
Yes, we've been to
Richmond.
We played London last year with with Henry.
Yeah.
We're going to Farnham in
where's
Farnham? Is Surrey or Sussex?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Don't know. With Nativity.
Yeah.
So that'll be the closest, but it's still a bit of a long way from Watford.
Yeah.
Although I have played Watford.
Have you?
On two occasions.
Is that right?
I was in two pantos.
You were with Joyce Branagh, weren't
I was,
you?
Yeah. I played the genie in Aladdin.
That's right. Yeah.
And I played Sarah the Cook in Dick Whittington.
Wow. Wow. Well, there we go. You could have seen him, Jill.
Yeah.
You missed out.
Yeah.
We'll let you know if we come near Watford. Who have we got?
David Phillips again.
Okay. I'm going to rename this the David Phillips.
Well, I tell you what, we need David.
We do need David.
Because he gives us quite a lot of
he
content.
He does. Thank you, David, for your continued support.
If Stu is still doing his travel slot.
Yeah, travel slot.
Travel slot. Could he find out about the 8th Canary Island that doesn't seem to appear on maps, but I definitely saw it out of the plane window as we flew into Tenerife.
Wow.
Well, you're in luck, David, because it's
Stu's reviews.
Have we got a jingle for that?
Yeah, we just heard it.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we definitely just hear it. Yeah.
Well, David, I am doing my travel slot still, and I can tell you that the 8th Canary Island is called La Graciosa, which means, Howard, the funny.
Interesting.
Interesting, isn't it? And once again, I've looked up a couple of reviews to give you a balanced view of the island's charms. So I'll start with the good review.
Yeah.
Right, and this is all on TripAdvisor, and this is from Lucky Ray 12. The headline is this: Orzola trip to La Graciosa. Had a great time in the catamaran. Pit stop at La Graciosa village for like an hour while they prepped the boat for lunch, etc. Then we sailed to the Yellow Mountain and anchored in a calm side of the island where people could snorkel, swim near the boat, or kayak. Lunch was really good. It was seafood paella. And had pasta as a second option.
I just need to stop you, right?
What?
One of your beefs in life is when people foods with their... when you go, chorizo. And you have just done paella.
Okay, I'll reread that. It was seafood paella.
Nice.
Thanks. And had pasta as a second option. Overall, we had a great time and would do it again. 5 stars.
Wow.
And I should mention, this is for a boat tour around the island.
Oh, okay.
These reviews are for a boat tour. So that's a good review. So that's nice, David. I bet you think that's making you think, I do want to go. Well, hold your horses, because here is a bad review. Now, this is from Tessa H. The headline, Too Little Time Actually On Bossed, which I think she means boat, but she's put an S where the A should be. And this was from October 2020. Let's hear what Tessa has to say. I thought we were on an almost full day catamaran trip. No. An hour from Playa Blanca was actually an hour and a half. Then at ferry terminal, another half hour wait. Ferry journey enjoyable, if you like rough seas. On arrival, 20-minute wait while everything explained in every language.
Including yours,
including
Tessa.
Yours, yeah. Fucking hell. I mean, they've learned all the languages of the world.
Exactly.
So they can, well, let's put that aside. Then another 45 minutes before the catamaran trip started. Finally, 3 hours 25 minutes after setting off. First hour, great. Lots of drinks, bread and omelette. Sails up to see Yellow Mountain. Then stopped for, quote-unquote, swimming. Despite us all being strong swimmers and with appropriate attire, the spot chosen was far too wavy to swim. I decided to take my 3 children on the beach taxi to swim on the beach. As we realised, still very rough, we thought we'd return to the boat. At this point, the guide told me we would not be picked up until 2:30. She attempted to contact the boat and repeatedly told me they would get us, but never did. Abandoned for an hour. No food, no drink, and I hadn't any of our stuff. Finally, made it back to the boat. Pasta for the children, paella for everyone. everyone else. Had fun feeding fish food I didn't want.
Oh my God.
All in all, not worth it all the way from Playa Blanca. And don't go to the beach unless you want to stay for ages. Unlikely, given you've paid to be on the boat. Not for snorkelers either. 1 star.
Right, I'm going to say, right, whilst I believe those, yeah, that reflects much more badly on Tessa, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Than it does on,
so she's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, right? And she's complaining about the waves,
yeah,
right? Like you're the in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, Tessa. Don't go. Go to the Mediterranean. It's, yeah, not wavy there, yeah, or not as wavy.
What are you thinking?
So, number one. Number two, she went. She decided to take her children, yeah, on another excursion,
right, yeah,
and then complained when that didn't fit in with everybody else's plans.
Yeah.
I don't like her. No, I don't like
no.
her.
No, see, Tessa... No. So, David, I think from those two reviews, I think we're siding with number one.
We are, yeah.
And I think La Graciosa, definitely a place to go. And a little trip, boat round, a little catamaran trip round the island.
Yeah.
Be a lovely
a cat
thing
or
to
a
do.
Meringue?
Get out.
I need to, actually, I need to do something.
What do you need
well,
to do?
Well, my chair is about to fall apart.
Right.
So I'm going to...
Well, it's a perfect segue, actually, now that you're doing a bit of handyman
yeah.
work. Into one of our regular features.
Yeah.
That's just showing off your skills because PJ Naylor, Pip Naylor, has yeah. said, well, actually, this is a double one today.
Yeah.
Both Pip Naylor and David Phillips.
Yeah, we'll do the
right, but I'll ask the question
all
first.
Right, yeah.
Pip Naylor says, with all the current talk of climate change, does Handyman Howard have any tips for saving the planet? And also, David Phillips asks, Handyman Howard, with winter on its way, any useful tips to keep out the drafts? Well, Pip and David, you're in luck, because now, here with us, it's a double Handyman Howard.
Was I supposed to do
that? No, that, well, you can if you like. It's a double Handyman Howard.
If your decorate is driving you insane, and the ball cop is just refusing to drain, he's here with advice, not for financial gain. It's Handyman Howard.
So, Pip Naylor, with all the talk of climate change, does Handyman Howard have any tips for saving the planet? Well, I'm going to say that I think that's a little bit beyond my remit as Handyman
we need
Howard.
Terry Nutkins.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, like David Attenborough's there. I mean, there are far better people than me to...
But maybe Pip's referring to, like, what yeah. are the small things we can do in our own homes to combat climate change?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there's the obvious ones.
What's
like
that?
Stop using your car.
Don't use the car.
Don't use the car. I mean, I feel very underqualified to talk about this.
Recycling? A lot of
recycling. Do recycling, obviously. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
No.
You know, David's thing is going to help.
No,
so,
that's
you know,
true.
Get
they tie
rid
in.
Of drafts. So
yeah.
let me answer that.
Right.
What I would do is with winter, any useful tips to keep out the drafts?
Mm.
I mean, I was thinking about doing a joke about chess pieces or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No, I didn't. Well, you know, it's quite simple, David. I would say buy yourself one of those big old-fashioned draft excluders
like
in the shape of a dog.
Yeah.
That would be the. Yeah, put that on by your door and you're golden.
Yeah.
It depends on the age of your house. I mean, if you're in a fairly modern place, you shouldn't be having drafts,
yeah.
to be honest. But also, in these COVID times,
well,
we should be keeping the ventilation going.
We should actually, David.
So actually, if you've got people round, you shouldn't be. You should put a coat on.
Yeah. Yeah, just put a coat on, keep the drafts going.
Yeah. So that's what I would say. It's not what you want to hear.
No.
It's not really handyman.
You know, we never said that Handyman Howard was going to give you popular answers.
No.
Sometimes that he gives out those hard truths, which is just deal with it, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So there we are.
There we go. Both Pip and David, sorry.
Yeah.
We can't help you.
Rubbish.
We've got some more coming
yes.
up.
Yes, so Pip has once again said, given that we just had bonfire night, what about a Stuart's inquiry into the causes of the gunpowder plot?
Ooh.
Was there any Coggins or McLaughlin involvement?
Well, you're in luck, Pip.
Because now it's time for a...
Stuart's Inquiry.
It's a Stuart's Inquiry.
Okay, the gunpowder plot. Well, I wasn't listening too hard at school when they talked about this, but luckily, I've got this thing called the internet.
What?
Yeah, have you ever heard of it?
No,
it's loads never heard of information it. At the touch of a button. So The gunpowder plot in a nutshell right now. I'm not reading this, I'm just speaking off the top of my head. So Guy Fawkes was a Catholic, right? Elizabeth I
wasn't very nice to the Catholics, made some laws against them. So he made some laws against them, and him and his mates, they didn't like that. And they thought that when King James took to the throne, he might change those laws. But he didn't. Didn't change them. In fact, he made more laws. So they weren't very happy about this. So a few of them got together. Now, they were led by a bloke called Robert Catesby, I believe. And there was a group of them. I'm going to try and remember their names off the top of my head.
Good luck with this.
You've got Robert Catesby. You've got two Wright brothers, not Orville and Edgar. They're called Thomas and Robert, I think.
No, they were called Christopher and John.
Thank you. Christopher and John Wright.
I'm not reading this. No, I know this.
There was a guy called Bates, who for some reason wasn't given a Christian name, but I didn't write him in.
Oh, okay.
You've got Guido Fawkes.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of Winter brothers as well. They were called Robert and... Jonathan?
Thomas,
right. So Thomas and Ed.
And there's one more.
There's one more.
Very famous family.
Oh, is that right?
Very famous family. Oh. Probably the most aristocratic family in the country.
Is it Jim Robinson from Neighbours?
No, it's not.
Who is it? Maybe?
Thomas Percy. The Percys obviously were the Dukes of Northumberland and trace their lineage back past when the royals do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. So this is the group of people and they decided, because they were all Catholics, they decided to take matters into their own hands, and they thought, wouldn't it be great if the next time King James is in the Houses of Parliament, we blow it up with gunpowder and everyone gets killed? What better way to make our point? So what they did was they all bought a house next door to the Houses of Parliament, right? And they discovered, well, I don't know if they discovered it once they bought the house or they knew it.
Yeah, I think they probably knew.
But there was a cellar that went under the house, under the Houses of Parliament. So what they did was they bought this house and they moved in. They got a load of gunpowder and they stashed it in the cellar under the Houses of Parliament, right? The fateful day came. The plan was they were going to blow it up. Guy Fawkes was given the job of looking after the gunpowder, make sure it's all fine, and lighting the fuse. So in he goes, he's down in on the morning of the 5th of November, 1605, I believe.
Yeah, right.
And just as he was about to light it, he got arrested, and they took him away, and they tortured him at the Tower of London, and they said, "Tell us who else is, you know, in your little group." And he went, "Never." So they like twisted his ball sack or something. They gave him some torturous stuff. They really tortured him. And then he went, "All right, I'll tell you." And he blabbed. He dobbed them all in, all of his friends. Now, so as far as I know, there's no Coggins or McLaughlin involved.
Well, do you know why, Stuart?
Why?
Because these were all posh people.
That's
I'm
right,
going to get on my
horse. Right. These are all posh people.
These were all aristocratic Catholics.
Right.
So they were all really posh. And to my knowledge, my lineage doesn't come from posh people. My forebears certainly couldn't have afforded to buy a house next to the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah,
but I tell you who was... who is related to Robert Catesby?
Yeah, exactly.
Is I've forgotten his name now.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Played Jon Snow in
Kit
Harington.
Kit Harington.
So Kit Harington is descended from Robert Catesby.
Right?
Posh.
Wow. And
he actually played Robert Catesby in. There was a TV adaptation a couple of years ago called The Plot or something, which was all about the gunpowder plot.
Wow.
And he played Catesby.
Wow, there you go. Well, King James was really chuffed that he'd survived this attempt on his life. So he decreed that everyone on the 5th of November every year should light a load of bonfires and burn an effigy of Guido Guy Fawkes.
Is that true? He actually decreed it?
He said, I didn't know that. Everyone to make a bonfire. And we still... celebrate that today. Although not many people do bonfires and effigies of Guy Fawkes, do they still? I mean,
fireworks
has sort of been lumped in with
that. And also, people don't really do fireworks anymore. It does seem to be a dying a death.
Yeah, it does. So there you go, Pip. That is a Stuart's Inquiry.
It's a Stuart's Inquiry.
Right, that jingle marks...
the sort of nearly the end
of today's podcast, I think. I think it's been a vintage one.
It has to have. And so when are we coming back? When should we before Christmas?
Maybe we'll try and do a Christmassy one.
Nativity's
up and running.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
That would be nice. And we can crack open the Christmas jingles again.
I did those Christmas jingles.
You put
some jingle bells on.
I did.
Well, you've got them on your computer somewhere, so we'll crack those out.
Yeah, we'll crack those out.
So we'll be back before Christmas with a festive edition of this Living Spit podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
In the meantime, you can sign up to our newsletter at livingspit.co.uk. And there's only one item left in this podcast. It's a listener favourite. It's my favourite. It's your favourite. is Howard's End.
Howard's End is gonna end the show for us. Howard's End.
Okay, we've just heard Stuart talking about the gunpowder plot and how Robert Catesby and Guy Fawkes and those other people tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. And whilst they believed they had good reason to do so, in the end, their lack of thought for other people led to their own downfall. So what I would say on this nearly bonfire night is don't be like Robert and Guy. Be kind.
Wow, what a message. I thought for a minute when you said like Robert and Guy, you were going to name the whole lot.
No. My memory doesn't stretch.
Well, that's a real shame. But the message is still strong. Be kind.
Yeah.
As simple as that. And we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, so bye. Bye.
Was the Living Spit Podcast. Goodbye from the Living Spit Podcast. You've been listening to the Living Spit Podcast. It's gone away.
Oh, okay, that was quite good. Fun, wasn't it?
It was good.
Yeah. Press space bar.
What?
Press space bar.
Press space bar. What, like this?
Yeah.